Imagine a world without an energy crisis, without blackouts, brownouts, dimouts, without offshore drilling, tanker collisions, pipelines, oil spills, without coal mining, strip mining, defoliation of land, without smokestacks, exhaust pipes, high-tension power lines, without a public utilities commission, a local power company, manhole covers, or even that little blue monthly electric bill. Imagine an entire planet without pollution. People living, working, and moving with all the modern conveniences but in perfect harmony with nature. Science fiction? On the contrary, it could have been a reality today had the great financial institutions of the United States chosen to back an alternative system of power back in 1900. How they made their choice, what that system was, and why it has never seen the light of day is one of the strangest, exciting, and most fascinating stories of the century. Now, you open any history book, and you'll find the names of the world's electric heroes: Faraday, Edison, Marconi, Morse, Bell, DeForest. But only in perhaps 1 out of 100 such books will one find the name of Nikola Tesla. Yet it was Tesla's discoveries which made it possible for all the other discoveries to operate efficiently. Nikola Tesla was born in 1856 in the village of Smijin in what is now Yugoslavia. At an early age, Tesla found he had the unique ability to visualize things in his mind. He could do that in school when he could work out the most difficult mathematical problems by seeing a blackboard with his mind's eye. Later, he was able to build in his consciousness the most complex machinery and be absolutely positive of its functioning correctly before even one piece was forged and assembled. It was this fantastic gift which led Tesla to his first major discovery, which remains today as the foundation of our modern electrical system, and that was the alternating current polyphase motor. Now, in 1882, all electrical systems were functioning on primitive direct current systems. The principle of alternating current was known, thanks to the work of British scientist Michael Faraday, but making it work was a wholly different matter. Indeed, the most learned electrical engineers of the day wrote volumes of papers and essays describing in detail how such a system was impossible. It appeared that the single-phase direct current motors in vogue at the time, complete with all their frequent breakdowns and failures, would be with us always. And one day, while Tesla was reciting poetry, the solution came to him in one of his visions. Reaching a point in Goethe's description of the setting sun, the glow retreats, if yonder hastes, new fields of life exploring, Tesla suddenly exclaimed to a companion, watch me reverse it. The alternating current system was alive in Tesla's mind and functioning perfectly. Tesla received a modicum of public acclaim when he demonstrated his working model, and taking his plans to the Continental Edison Company in Paris, he tried to persuade them to change over to the more efficient alternating current system. Deeply rooted in direct current, they refused to listen to his theories, but Tesla was offered a job working under Thomas Edison himself in New York. So in 1884, he emigrated to America. Tesla was impressed by Edison, but Edison was not too impressed with Tesla or his theories. He gave Tesla a job doing minor routine work consisting mostly of repairing burned-out armatures and broken-down dynamos, the hallmarks of the direct current system. Eventually, however, scientific genius overcame blind prejudice, and with the financial help of J. Pierpont Morgan, the richest man in the world, the Tesla Electric Company opened in New York City, and he set to work designing his famous polyphase power system with all its dynamos, motors, and transformers, and other devices. As Edison's direct current system continued to be plagued by failures, Tesla's alternating current plans attracted the attention of George Westinghouse, head of the Westinghouse Electric Company in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Quickly grasping the future possibilities, Westinghouse immediately offered Tesla $1 million for his patents, plus a royalty of $1 per horsepower. Tesla's system was built and installed at Niagara Falls and was a smashing success, making it possibly, ironically, for Edison's invention, the incandescent lamp, to operate efficiently without continually burning out due to the unstable direct current system. It is ironic that Tesla's inventions made Edison's inventions work. An interesting sidelight to Tesla's deal with Westinghouse demonstrated the completely selfless humanitarianism of this prodigal genius. Westinghouse, faced with financial disaster due to a series of mergers, asked Tesla to release him from the $1 per horsepower royalty, because in the contract it had mounted to a debt of $12 million, and Westinghouse couldn't pay it. If he did, it would put his company, and incidentally Tesla's system, out of business. Well, without hesitation, Tesla tore up the contract and the $12 million, exclaiming, "It is more important for people to have alternating current than it is for me to have $12 million. Well, the future of his polyphase system now secure, Tesla turned his attention to a project he had been working out in his mind for some time, the wireless transmission of energy, of power. Tesla was positive that all of nature's electrical secrets had not been discovered, and he was particularly adamant about one fact. He believed that electricity was not the end in itself, but the mere stepchild of the Earth's natural magnetic vibrations. Rather than using magnets to produce electric waves carried by wires, Tesla thought it was possible to use electricity to produce magnetic waves which could distribute energy without wires. Developing his famous Tesla coil, which produced millions of high-frequency volts, Tesla found that he could tune the frequency of the energy waves, making it possible for them to be received at a distance by a system tuned to the same frequency. Marconi, a disciple of Tesla's, took this idea and ran with it, developing radio transmission. Tesla, however, had more grandiose ideas. Incidentally, Tesla has now been given the credit by the Electrical Engineers Society for the discovery of radio. Marconi developed it, of course, but it was Tesla's theories now, which have been generally agreed to have originally been the basis of the development of radio. But it was Tesla's idea that power could be distributed to any point on Earth much the same as radio signals are sent and received. So in May 1899, he moved his entire laboratory to Colorado Springs to conduct further experiments. The location was superb for the observation of nature's electrical storms and gigantic lightning displays. Tesla's experimental station was shaped like a huge barn. The sides were 100 feet long and 25 feet wide, from which the roof sloped upwards to the center. From below the center, a wooden pyramidal tower extended upward to a height of nearly 80 feet and served as an anchorage for a 200-foot mast, on top of which was a 3-foot copper ball. A wire from this copper ball extended downward through this Frankenstein-esque structure connected to the electrical apparatus in the laboratory. Author John J. O'Neill, Tesla's biographer, writes, "Tesla was entirely on his own, working without human guidance of any kind, exploring a field of knowledge far beyond that which anyone else had reached. None had gone before him to pave the way to gain experience." Well, Tesla's experiments quickly proved that the Earth itself is an electrically charged body with an extremely high potential, plus a mysterious ability to maintain its voltage. This convinced Tesla that if the means of control were in the hands of man, electrical forces could be manipulated on a terrestrial scale. He wrote, "The Earth was found to be literally alive with electrical vibrations, and soon I was deeply absorbed in this interesting investigation. Impossible as it seemed, this planet, despite its vast extent, behaved like a conductor of limited dimensions, making it possible to transmit power in unlimited amounts to any terrestrial distance and almost without loss." Previously, Tesla had produced high-frequency waves through electrical resonance in his wired circuits by tuning the electricity. Now he discovered that the same effect could be reproduced with the Earth itself acting like a huge single condenser and coil combined. By charging it and discharging it rhythmically with high-frequency, high-potential oscillations, the entire Earth could be set in electrical resonance, thus distributing its energy waves to the four corners of the globe. Fortunately, Tesla also discovered that the Earth had a built-in inhibitor, making true resonance impossible. True resonance destroys an object when created vibrations match or resonate with the special vibratory rate of the object. This is how the human voice or a violin note is able to shatter a glass, or how an army marching in unison causes a bridge to tumble. And without this built-in resistance to true resonance, the Earth would have disintegrated into flying chunks and pieces during Tesla's experiments. He frequently stressed this phenomenon as nature's gift to mankind. Man needed only to supply the amount of energy lost through the Earth's natural electrical resistance to obtain practical resonance, leaving him in perfect control of the situation. Some interesting sidelights to this story. When Tesla was doing experiments with resonance in New York in his laboratory on Houston Street, he had a resonating device operating in his laboratory, and he set it to working one night, and soon it was resonating with the hard rock bed of Manhattan Island, and it almost caused an earthquake. And the police station was getting calls like crazy, and they all went to Tesla's laboratory, and when they burst in the door, Tesla was there with an axe, destroying his resonating device. Otherwise, an earthquake could have happened in New York. And from that time on, when anything strange or weird went on in the neighborhood, the police were always at Tesla's residence, at his laboratory on Houston Street. Another thing, if you would further understand the principle of resonance, think of a huge tub of water and dipping your finger in the center of that tub, and it sends waves out to the side. And these waves, which extend in concentric circles, hit the side of the tub and then come back in again. And so by just a few dips of the finger in the center of that tub, you can cause the waves to keep coming back and forth, and they develop their own power in doing that, and pretty soon they look stationary in the tub. That's the principle of resonance which Tesla discovered and which he used. Well, at last the time came for Tesla to test his apparatus. Setting it in motion, he pumped electricity into the earth and drew it out in rapid rhythmic rates of 150,000 oscillations per second, producing wavelengths of about 7,000 feet. O'Neill describes the process this produced. He said, "When the moving waves expanded outward from Colorado Springs, they traveled in all directions in ever-increasing circles until they passed over the bulge of the earth, and then in ever smaller circles and with increasing intensity converged on the diametrically opposite point of the earth. In the area midway between the southern tip of Africa and the southwest corner of Australia, here a tremendous electrical south pole was built up, marked by a wave of great amplitude, which rose and fell in unison, while Tesla's apparatus at its north pole in Colorado Springs sent back an electrical echo from the south antipode to Colorado Springs, producing the same effect but a mite weaker. Just as it arrived back at Colorado Springs, however, the oscillator was working to build up a wave that would reinforce it and send it back more powerfully than before. This performance would be repeated continuously." Well, the coils in Tesla's laboratory, perfectly tuned to vibrate electrically in resonance with the surge of energy, built up potentials of more than 100 million volts. No scientist has ever succeeded in building up currents with even one-tenth of this potential since that time, according to O'Neill. Amazingly, Tesla used only about 300 horsepower to charge the Earth and produces tremendous voltages, demonstrating that a relatively infinitesimal amount of energy was needed to produce the oscillation. The Earth's natural resonating ability did the rest. And to tap this energy for use, one needed only a simple apparatus containing the same elements as a tuning unit in a radio receiver, a coil and a condenser, plus a ground connection and a 20-foot antenna. This device, properly tuned to the same frequency as the energy waves, would draw them off for use for lighting, heating, electrical appliances, and so forth. And as a practical demonstration of his system, Tesla succeeded in lighting 200 incandescent lamps at a distance of 26 miles. Well, Tesla's experiments, of course, had a dramatic effect on the world, and we'd like to talk about these more with scientist Walter Baumgartner.
Tesla was a discoverer of principles. He was not just an inventor, as commonly believed. He discovered the true workings of nature, if you like to put it that way, or he was able to construct machinery according to the laws of nature. This is really what set him apart. A good example would be, for instance, his magnifying transmitter, or what he called a magnifying transmitter, and he was able to transmit power to a certain distance, or it could be picked up as power.
Now, many people are looking forward to these principles being revived again today. Do you think that we can do that, duplicate those experiments today, and really have the wireless transmission of energy?
There's absolutely no problem at recreating that. However, we have to see or change our view or change our attitude towards the electrical phenomena and many phenomena we have observed in nature. It is, there is no, absolutely no technical problem in to recreate all those inventions. Tesla has done it, why can't we do it now? But we have to realize a few principles first, which nature is really applying. And that first principle is that nature is actually multiplying its effects and not diminishing its effects. We believe today that everything, we believe in entropy. Well, science believes in entropy, which is a heat death. The universe is dying of a heat death, which is not true. The universe is regenerating itself. It is giving off, it is imploding itself, so to speak, and it's also exploding. But it's doing it at the same time, not just exploding.
Does not our Earth, every time it rotates around the sun and every time it rotates on its own axis, gaining energy?
Yes, that's correct. It is gaining energy and it's also giving off energy. In principle, the sun is the main generator. It gives energy off at its equator in a spiral form outwards to the first planet, which is Mercury, for instance. Mercury is regenerated and it gives off its energy again. It gives more energy off than it has received from the sun. This is the great secret. So it goes from planet to planet in a spiral form, in a spiral fashion, and in this way the whole system is maintained. Otherwise the system could not exist.
Now, Tesla always said that we found the cart before the horse, that we placed too much emphasis on electricity when we should have placed more emphasis on the magnetic force field, the natural magnetic force field of the Earth. Did we discover the cart before the horse in this respect?
I don't really understand your question right now. You speak of magnetic force. Are you referring to the electrical field?
Yes.
Of the planet?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the field which can be seen, for instance, in other words, aurora.
Yeah, Tesla auroras. Said there was more to electricity than just what we were working with ourselves.
Oh, I see. Yeah, the cause behind the electrical movement.
Right.
Yes, which is... science has postulated an ether, a so-called ether, or you may call it a space fabric. It is true there's such a thing as a space fabric. Everything comes out of this space fabric. This space fabric you may consider as a stationary oscillating charge which is in this universe everywhere. Out of this then you have motion. Once motion starts, you have different phenomena, like heat, like electricity, light, and so forth and so on. It seems to divert itself into complexity, but the basic cause is very simple, appears to be very simple. So when we generate any form of energy, it's just a question to arranging your machinery or the technology to the way nature does it, when nature generates motion.
Now, when Tesla did it in Colorado Springs, if I understand it right, he set the Earth in resonance?
Yes, this is true.
How did he do that?
First of all, he built a transmitter, which is like an ordinary transmitter we have today, a radio transmitter, if you like. Mm-hmm. It consists of an ordinary tank circuit, or what is considered a tank circuit, which is in principle a coil and a capacitor. Now, between the coil and the capacitor, you create a frequency, a predetermined frequency, depending on the size of your capacitance or on the inductance of your coil and so forth. With this tank circuit, then, he superimposed his frequency onto the existing field of this planet. Now, he had in his experiment 300 kilowatt available to him. At the time in Colorado, there was a
hydroelectric plant,
Yes, it was a little, they had two generators up there at that time, and one was made available for him, for his experiments, and that machine was, the capacity of that machine was 300 kilowatt. So this is all he had to his disposal, and it's very important to realize, because the output of his machine, which was the magnifying transmitter, was in the neighborhood of 10,000 horsepower. Now, there's quite a difference putting in 300 kilowatt and taking out about 10,000 horse.
This is something that a lot of people don't understand when they first read about Tesla. They say, well, it took energy for him to produce energy.
Yes.
But they don't realize that he produced more than he used.
That's really right. And he is emphatically stresses this throughout all his patents, that his transmitter is a magnifying transmitter, and not just a transmitter. But with the recognized laws in science, we have in science today, concerning the laws, for instance, of thermodynamics, with our electrical laws, and so forth, there can't be any magnification. It is not possible to have magnification with that. But
you mean the scientists who are working on a lot of things today are looking in the wrong direction?
Looking in the wrong direction in that sense that they do not realize that nature actually multiplies or implodes. This is very important to understand. Implosion is the opposite of explosion.
Right.
Implosion means a great force going towards the inside. It's an inward movement against the explosion, which is an outwards movement. But you can utilize both, if you like.
Is that, did Tesla draw energy both from the Earth and from the ether, the atmosphere around, through implosion?
No, what he did, he only vibrated, so to speak, at the existing planet's field. Now, the planet has an electrical field. As it moves through space, it creates electrical energy.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this is a so-called static field. It has no vibratory qualities to it. It is like a DC current.
Mm-hmm.
It is just there. So, but you can vibrate it.
You have to excite it.
You can excite it with a certain any frequency you create. Now you create an artificial frequency like he did, and you hook it into that system. That is, his system was a ground system and not an atmospheric system as usually thought, because we. In our normal transmission of signals, of radio signals, or TV, or microwave, or whatever, we use an atmospheric, the medium of the atmosphere, so to speak. But he was using the ground, because his system, being a ground system, he was able to distribute his frequency, like he says, throughout his patents, with a 98% efficiency.
To any point on the globe?
To any point on the globe, if he wants to. Of course, his 300 kilowatt generator wasn't enough for an input to run the whole energy or to vibrate this field all over the planet,
now, what
or
you
around the planet.
What you just said is very important, because most people believe, I think, that you put an aerial up on top of your house and you somehow tune in the energy and it comes through the air to
uh-huh.
the house. You're saying that you could draw it out of the ground.
This is a ground system, yes. You do have a rod maybe sticking up on your roof, but you have, so to speak, to put it simple, two poles. You never work just with one. You have another one because in his transmission, he had the same thing in his transmitter. He had one going to the ground, on his main coil, on his secondary coil. Now there's a primary coil to each transformer. He has a magnifying transformer. You can call it that way too if you like. His transmitter at the same time was a transformer, because there's always a primary and a secondary to a transformer. And his secondary coil has a beginning and has an end. So those two have to go somewhere. One is going to the ground, and the other one was going up a mast to a big sphere. But this was only the sphere. He was not trying to transmit the signal out from the sphere, because the reason he had a sphere up on top of his mast is to contain this electrical movement, or not to have it radiate out into space. And he always said throughout his patent, again, that he is not working with the Hertzian system, with the recognized Hertzian system we are using still today. His system was a ground system, not a Hertzian system.
Maybe that's why a lot of people who are in the electrical field today, scientists, when you talk to them about Tesla, they say it won't work, or we can never do it, and they
yes.
even doubt that he ever did it himself.
This is correct.
Although, I think the story goes that he lit a bank of 200 light bulbs at a distance of 26 miles with
yes.
his system in 1899 in Colorado
right.
Springs.
It's almost too staggering to think of the effect Tesla's worldwide wireless power system would have had on our planet. And indeed, it would have been part of our daily life now, were it not for one small detail. Tesla proposed his system to the heads of the great financial institutions of that time. J.P. Morgan and his associates were impressed, to put it mildly. It came down to a choice between Edison's system, which was distributing energy over wires for about 100 miles, and Tesla's alternating current system, which was more efficient than Edison's, and Tesla's new worldwide wireless superpower system. Author John J. O'Neill detailed the perplexing questions the captains of industry faced. Would the new wireless distribution of power system fit into the existing economic and financial structure? If it were adopted for development, who would be best suited to control it? Could it be controlled in a practical way when any spot on Earth would be an outlet for an unlimited reservoir of power for anyone who cared to tap it with a simple device? The clincher was as simple as it was astounding. How could they charge for it? How could compensation be collected for services rendered? Tesla, you see, had developed a worldwide power distribution system in which the only flaw was one of a financial nature. It was free. Eventually, Morgan and his associates abandoned Tesla's system as unpractical because it would have taken the cooperation of diverse large financial groups throughout the world to put it into operation, making it virtually impossible to secure a monopoly or control over it. The project was laid to rest, and Tesla went on to other things. That might have been the end of the story, except that Tesla continued to astound the world with his inventions, which included the first radio-controlled boats and other robot-type machines, plus a crude form of sonar. As World War II approached, Tesla offered to the British and later to the United States his plan for a magnetic shield defense system, which would have made it impossible for any foreign object to cross a country's borders. The British and the U.S. governments were, of course, interested, but Tesla ended all negotiations when they refused to sign an agreement which stipulated that his invention would never be used for offensive purposes. Can the world still benefit from Tesla's magnanimous work? It could, if it could get to it. Tesla never kept complete records, retaining most of his plans in his mind, where his fantastic ability to visualize his work was ever available to him. We seldom hear of Tesla or his work today. The true facts are sometimes hidden because, on the day of his death in 1943, the FBI swooped down and immediately confiscated all his papers, and they have remained locked up in the archives of the federal government, gathering dust to this day. That Tesla was ahead of his time is without question. The question remains, how much longer must we wait?